The Stanton-Parkersburg Turnpike Alliance, headquartered in Beverly, West Virginia, is proud to present The Old Stagecoach Line, an audio history based on local memory of the historic pike. Written and produced by Carrie and Michael Klein, talking across the lines in Elkins, West Virginia.
The pike was a big long stick, if you want to use that word. Put it on a turnstile, pay your money, go through. That's why you turn it. Turn pike. Turn the pike. Really, the term actually goes way back to the Middle Ages, the pike does.
When I was probably a teenager in high school, Wes and Cecil Heckert had a store in Troy. Their grandparents were the Heckerts that came there in 18 and 16 on the Pioneer Trail. And Wes Heckert just loved to sit there in his old store, chew his tobacco and spit and talk about the Pioneer Trail. In 1800, the Parkersburg and Staunton Turnpike was an Indian trail. In 1810, Adam Heckert brought patent rights out of the government of Virginia and came to the Troy section on the Parkersburg and Staunton Turnpike. It was known as a Pioneer Trail.
You can tell what state you're from because it's Staunton Pike to us, and when it hit Virginia, it was Stanton.
Our first permanent settler that we know of here in Ritchie County was around 1801. Still nothing but woods, you know, the forest, very isolated region, and nothing but very hardy people, I would think, to take on a challenge like that.
When the Pringle brothers were here, there was nobody else here in this whole territory. John and Samuel Pringle had come here as deserters from the British Army at Fort Pitt in 1764 and hid out in a hollow tree down here on the riverbank for about 3 years.
They could stand up in that tree. It was an old sycamore on the forks of the Buchanan River. And it is 2 miles north of Buchanan on Turkey Run. And it's the first permanent settlement west of the Alleghenies. It was in, at that time, Virginia.
And finally they got so low on gunpowder that one left the other brother with 2 bullets, I think, and came back with supplies and told him the war was over and they was no longer wanted men. So they went back across the mountains and started bringing settlers over into the Buchanan area.
By 1769, they were ready to bring a group of people across the mountains to settle this valley, the Buchanan Valley. They built a fort, Bush's Fort, which was destroyed by the Native Americans in 1781, and it was just a time and a half until the end of that century.
The Hughes River was named for Jesse Hughes and his brother Eli and his father Thomas. Thomas was one of my husband Arden's grandfathers, so many greats back. And they traveled the country and mapped out a lot of the rivers. And of course, it was named for the Hughes family.
Right on up past Leechtown, the Hughes River pours into the Little Kanawha River. Within 6 or 7 miles, you can see 3 different rivers, the Kanawha, the North Fork, and the South Fork of the Hughes, all along Staunton Pike. But these all drain to the Ohio at Parkersburg.
Thomas Hughes was killed by Indians, and Jesse became very bitter after his father's death, and he hated the Indians so badly. And one of his daughters was captured by the Indians, and he eventually got her back. But he would track the Indians and showed no mercy. The stories that's in history books are quite gruesome.
Swift as a deer, gun always loaded, a bitter shadow on their land. A demon spell he is under, always watching from the hills. He feels no cold, he knows no hunger, he lives and breathes only to kill.
And his brother, Eli, he ended up going over around Chillicothe and settling over there. And a lot of the Indians that came into this country was from Chillicothe. They used this area as their hunting ground. And over around Hackers Creek and Jane Lou was where Jesse lived.
Jesse Hughes was the Indian fighter that was out in our neck of the woods. The white people took over. They basically stole their land. That's the way I look at it. Indians owned it before we did. They were here first. They were discriminated against. We have some Indian blood in us, too. And my great-grandmother's full-blooded Indian.
My father was born and raised on Bloody Run of Hackers Creek. That's over to Upshur County. One Sunday, back years ago, a couple of little children were playing at a creek crossing, you know, playing with for crawdads and stuff. And two Indians come along and scalped them. And they laid there in the water until somebody found them. And they said the stream ran red with blood. So that's how it got its name, Bloody Run. But that was before my daddy's time.
The French and Indian War resulted in British control over the region from the Allegheny Mountains all the way down the Ohio Valley. From that point on, the Indians who were allied with the Crown were granted a certain amount of control over the territory. The Royal Proclamation of 1763 was the boundary established by the king, west of which British colonists were not permitted to settle. A lot of the colonists went over anyway. Even in the 1750s, while the war was going on, they were crossing the mountains and settling. And the Indians, you had massacres going on. The family would come, establish a farmstead. The Indians didn't want them there, and they'd come and they'd burn down the house and kill the people that were living there if they weren't able to escape quickly enough.
The white people took over and started multiplying, and they wanted to expand out the frontier and homestead. And so the Indian tribes, you know, they had to either live with them or do away with them, and the next thing you know, they're outnumbered.
Once the colonies became independent of the British Crown, the Commonwealth of Virginia wanted settlement west of the mountains, and they encouraged it. So by 1790, there were tens of thousands of people west of the Alleghenies, and the Indians were just driven out by the numbers after the Revolutionary War.
Chief Buchanan was supposedly at the peace treaty in 1797. In western Pennsylvania, the peace treaty that kind of ended the Indian forays into this area.